During our class on Jewish history, the Meir is Seder HaKabbalah, and we had gone off on a tangent. We discussed a little bit about Yonasan ben Uziel, the translation of prophets, the meaning of receipt of tradition, and we discussed that sometimes it says he said it quoting from Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and it doesn't mean he literally heard it from them. And last week we discussed the Jerusalem Talmud, that sometimes we skip generations when we make quotes. Now let's get back to the point at hand. That in the time of the great assembly, in the time of the men of the great assembly, they started writing down notes on the tradition that they heard. Just as we wrote with regard to that example from Talmud Yevamos, and another example is what we find in this tractate in Pirkei Avos. They said three things. So these are examples of things that they wrote down for their notes. Let's continue. The Meiri says, "Vin kol ze hayaze me'at." And even though they did write notes, the notes was the smaller section of the oral law, meaning they didn't write down all of the oral law. They wrote a minimal part of the oral law down to notes. Zulati bidvarim zarim shemtziyut inyanam rachok. The exceptions, the things that were written, were the things that were far out. The reason they didn't need more accurate and more lengthy notes was because their hearts were wide like the entrance to the ulam. And so they could rely on their good nature, on their accurate understanding, their honest, straight understanding, their breadth of heart, their breadth of understanding, and their tremendous diligence. So these, the Meiri over here enumerated four tremendous tools for learning Torah: good nature, straight, honest understanding, breadth of heart, and tremendous diligence in study. So now that brings us to the period of the Second Temple. Zman Chachmei HaTalmud, we're entering the period of the Second Temple, which will lead us to the Tanoim and Amoraim. So when those first generations of the Second Temple, the generations of the men of the Great Assembly, ceased, and Ezra the rabbi, in those days Sofer was the title that was given to rabbi, he passed away. We come to the period of the men of the Talmud. The Rishon Shebem Haya Shimon HaTzadik, the first of the wise men of the Talmud. Notice that the Meiri is grouping together the Mishnah and the Talmud. He calls them all the men of the Talmud. The first of them is Shimon HaTzadik, Shaya Achon L'Anshei Knesset HaGdola V'Rishon HaChachamim. He was the last man of the men of the Great Assembly, and the first of the sages, Kmo SheKatavnu, as we wrote earlier.
He started as like a young kid, right? They put him in, Shimon HaTzadik, before he was
I don't know. And he had breadth, so to speak, and he redacted, he wrote down his ideas, as we find in this tractate. And we also find amazing stories about Shimon HaTzadik in the Talmud. It says he was Kohen Gadol for 40 years, never had a rainbow. The Ner HaTomid would last from Friday to Friday. It would never go out. He'd always draw the lots on the Yom Kippur, and Lashem came up in his right hand. The Talmud tells us a long list of I guess we could call them miracles that happened in his day, stemming from his righteousness.
And he met Alexander.
Oh, right, that we saw earlier. There you go.
But I have a question about this rabbi. I've been asking every rabbi I meet.
But that's something we discussed already weeks ago, his meeting with Alexander. So that's not for now. We'll talk about it, but not now.
וכן שבא מסיפור דבריו הנכבדים בתלמוד, דברים שיש להם מבוא והשתשלות לענייני זאת המסכתה.
There's a connection between those stories about Shimon HaTzadik and this tractate. כאומרם זל במסך נדרים, as our sages teach us in Tractate Nedarim, Amar Shimon HaTzadik, Mi'amai lo achalti Hashem nazir tamei ela achat. We have a story in the Talmud in Nedarim. Shimon HaTzadik says, I never ate an offering of a nazir who became defiled except for once. Pam achat ba'alai nazir min adarom. Once Shimon HaTzadik, he's the Kohen Gadol, a nazir comes up from the south. Yefei naim v'tov ro'i. He had beautiful eyes, he was good looking. And his hair was in beautiful locks of curls. So now, very nice. So Shimon HaTzadik sees this young man, he's coming up and he's ending his nezirut, and he's going to have to shave off all that beautiful hair. So he says, son, why did you see fit to destroy such beautiful hair? He said, Rabbi, I was a shepherd for my father with my flock. I went to draw water from the stream. I looked at my reflection and my desire overcame me and wanted to spurn me to do improper activities. I started thinking, look at how good looking you are. Look at what you could do with those looks. So I looked back at my Yetzer Hara, I looked at my reflection and I said, empty one, what are you being proud in a world that doesn't belong to you? Ultimately you're going to be vermin. What are you thinking? I said, I swear I'm going to shave you off for the sake of heaven. If those are the types of thoughts that are plaguing me, I'll shave it all off for heaven. And when I heard that, I said, okay, I'll eat his sacrifice. He's really done it for the sake of heaven. I blessed him. There should be more like you who accept upon them nezirut. About you, the verse describes the nezirus as nezirus for God. The Talmud says, why do we have to discuss a Nazir who got defiled? According to Rabbi Shimon, any person who accepts upon himself Nazirut is in sin. So the Talmud explains that when a person takes on this vow, he's doing it out of anger, and when he becomes defiled and then he has to start from scratch, then he has remorse. He says, I wish I never would have entered this thing. And then it ends up that he's bringing a sacrifice and his remorse might undo his vow, and then he's messing up the whole Nazirus and the sacrifices. Yeah.
Is the sin that he becomes a Nazir or that he ends his period of Nazirut?
So that's the discussion in the Gemara over there. It's exactly the discussion over there. Is it because he becomes Tameh? Is it because he took upon himself Nazirut?
Like, is there a final answer or is that just something that's kept being debated?
I don't remember. אבל זה מתוך יישוב הדת נדע רופי וליבו שווים. But this one took a vow when he was cool, calm, and collected, and then he made it with a complete frame of mind. He was in a proper frame of mind, and so that's a proper nazir. Klomar shanodrim mitoch kas v'tagav akpada korov anodrim bizmanenu. Meaning, the Gemara is saying those who take a vow out of anger, out of haste, like most people taking a vow in our days, zaya kavanat bilti retzuya. They don't have the proper intent when they take the vow. Umitchatim b'nekal, and then they easily regret what they've done. And certainly, when they end up prolonging their vow beyond what they intended, like when he becomes defiled, the Nazir, he's got to start his count from scratch. But if someone takes a vow with proper intent, like a person who sees he's going too far after his desire, their intent is to subdue their desire so that they don't sink in their bad deeds. Who neder not v'nivchal? That's a proper and fitting vow. Al kayotze v'amruv masech tazun nederim se'ag laprishut. And about things similar to this, our sages taught us that vows are the protector for keeping us separate from sin, for prishut. So he went off on this whole long tangent to give us another quote about Shimon HaTzadik, So Shimon HaTzadik is the first rabbi of the sages after the men of the Great Assembly, the last of the men of the Great Assembly. The first of the rabbis after the men of the Great Assembly. And he gave us a few examples of his piety, the greatness of Shimon HaTzadik, who is the first rabbi, really, after the men of the Great Assembly.
And he was the only religious leader.